Thank you. It's so great to be with you, those of you here in the room, those of you that are at home online. I've done online church for a whole year. This is the third Sunday I've been in person with in some place, once at Mercy Vineyard here. So thank you so much for connecting with us. And it is just great to be back. I am John. I'm now a member of the volunteer preaching team. I'm glad to be that. Many of you know, not all of you, that I've been serving as interim lead pastor at Mercy Vineyard Church Minneapolis for the past 21 months. But who's counting, right? Anyway, serving the Mercy community was a wonderful experience for me. Two things really stand out to me that I saw God do there. One, I saw him demonstrate his unfailing love for his people day after day. And I saw his people demonstrate resilience in the midst of many challenges as they trusted God. I know God's been doing that same thing here, and you've been doing that same thing here as well. The Mercy family wanted me to say thank you to you for your amazing generosity in lending me to them for a couple years and sending me to help them in their time of need. In his love, God's provided a wonderful new lead pastor for them, Gary Dawkins, and I hope you get to meet Gary and his family sometime soon. They're great people. We've become wonderful friends in the process. I think River Heights and Mercy now are kind of forever connected. I believe the generosity that you expressed to Mercy by sending me, it's at the very heart of who River Heights Vineyard is and always has been. From the very beginning, when Sue and I and a team planted River Heights, we dreamed of being a community of disciples that would generously bless and serve the people around us with the resources God would provide. I shared that dream on the very first Sunday we met as a church in the old auditorium at Simley High School, November 4th, 1990. I said to them, in 4 weeks, we plan to receive an offering so we can give food to families in need in our community. And I invited everyone to pray and ask God what would he like to provide through them, and I encouraged them to give as generously as they could. Now, it seemed a little risky because we'd only just met these people that very day, and I'm asking them in 4 weeks, I'm encouraging you to give some money. My team with me said, you're really going to do that? And I said, well, yeah. If we want this church to be a generous church, why not start the first Sunday that way? And so they, you know, knuckle under, and I was the leader, and they weren't sure I was right, but I had the microphone. Anyway, so 1 month later, we received our offering, and $1,500 was given by this new group of people that hardly knew each other at all. And we were able to give 100 bags of food to people, many who were in desperate need. Our generosity changed the world for those 100 families in December, and it changed us. And we planted seeds of generosity that have grown and grown and grown and multiplied at River Heights. Last Thanksgiving, for example, in the midst of a global pandemic, you gave so generously that we were able to serve 900 families. Can you believe it? It's incredible. Your generosity is changing the world. And loaves and fishes. And you're giving, what did you tell me, more than 120 like bags a night for the 4 nights now? It's amazing. I saw the video of Thanksgiving. It was incredible. So I have a couple questions for you now on the basis of that. How can you and I continue to grow in generosity as a community? And how can we grow in doing good with all the resources God provides for us? You know, John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, has been a great example to me as I've thought about generous giving. He's been an example through his writing. I am old, but I'm not that old. I didn't actually know him in person. But God so blessed John Wesley, he gained significant wealth throughout his life, and he chose to limit his expenses to a certain level so that as his income increased, his giving increased every single year. He wanted to do as much good as he could. Now, here is one of Wesley's famous quotes. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Kind of reminds me of Peter's little words about Jesus in Acts 8, where he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around, what? Doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When I read that quote from Wesley years ago, I said to God, please help me to become a more generous person. And so here are three things that I want to talk to you about that I've learned that I think can help you and I grow in generosity. They'll be up on the screen. I believe they're true in all seasons of life. One, God is changing the world through radical generosity. Two, you and I are called to play a big part in his plan. And three, God will give us all the resources we need to play our part well. We are called to manage them wisely according to his kingdom priorities. I want us to pray and thank God for his radical generosity to us as we begin. Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for giving us your one and only Son so that we and everyone who believes in Jesus will never perish but have eternal life. And Jesus, thank you for freely giving your life for us to rescue us, to restore all creation. And thank you and the Father for giving us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming and leading us to Jesus and to his people. Thank you for giving us the Bible and all the gifts and the power we need to live like Jesus and change the world. Would you please come today, this morning, right now, here in this room and in every home that's watching. Make your presence real to each one of us today. In your name we pray, amen. So again, God is changing the world through radical generosity, and you and I are called to play a big part in his plan to change the world. Now, our generosity to others flows from God's generosity to us. King David prayed this in 1 Chronicles 29. Who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We love, the Bible says, because God first loved us. We give because God first gave to us. Now, I love reading Bible storybooks. So when I have 6 kids, 12 grandkids now, my kids are between 30 and 44. They don't necessarily like me to read to them now, but my grandkids do, and that's pretty wonderful and awesome. So one of the things I read regularly to them is the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's written by Sally Lloyd-Jones. It's the best Bible storybook I've found. It's the one we give to new families who come to River Heights. Sally says this, I wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible so children could know what I didn't, that the Bible isn't mainly about me and what I should be doing. It's about God and what he's done. The Bible is largely, though not only, a great story, the greatest story of all, the story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. That in spite of everything, no matter what, whatever it cost him, God won't stop loving his children with a wonderful, never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. That the Bible, in short, has a marvelous, coherent storyline. I did not know that growing up. Of course, truth be told, I never read the Bible growing up, so I wouldn't have known that. But I've discovered that, and it's wonderfully helpful. It isn't just a collection of rules. And that there's only one hero in the story. Who is the hero? His name starts with J. It's not John. You all know that. It's Jesus is the hero. I wrote so that children could meet the hero in its pages. And I would say adults can too. And we can become part of his magnificent story. Because rules don't change your life. Anybody say amen to that? But a story, God's story, can, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I love that Sally Lloyd-Jones says the Bible has a marvelous, coherent storyline. And I believe God's generosity and the generosity of his people are at the very center of that storyline. Now, have any of you ever been in a play or seen a play on TV? Anybody here ever had played a part in a play or so on, or seen a play, loved a play, da-da-da-da-da? So I grew up in a really small town, 365 people, West Central Minnesota. I did graduate from the largest class, 31. Anyway, so if anything was going to happen in that school, bands, choirs, plays, sports teams, almost everybody had to be involved. So as a senior, I got recruited to play the lead in our school play. I was to play a cowboy, hat, chaps, everything. Cowboy Bob was who I was. And one of the scenes that was in the play was I got to kiss on the lips, for real, my best friend's girlfriend. And she was to like fake hit me like a play, you know, and I was to fall over on the back, da 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 da. So in the matinee to the elementary kids, we did that. I kissed her for real. She fake hit me. I fell over, and so on. That evening, we have all the adults and the families and coming to the main performance, and lights are on. Everybody's like nervous backstage, da 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 da. We get to that scene. I do my job. I play my part. I kiss her for real on the lips with gusto, and she hits me right in the mouth for real. Knocks me flat on my back. I'm literally seeing stars. And my friend said, that was the best scene in the whole play. It looked so real. Yeah, it's because it was real. Oh, she actually hit you? Yes. I played my part well. She played her part even better. I'm quite sure my best friend had something to do with that. Anyway, so being in a play is fun, right? But I want to encourage you, being part of God's great drama to change the world, it's the greatest adventure you could ever be in. You know, when God invited you to Jesus, he so wants to bless you, to clean you off, to forgive all your sins, to begin to free you from the power of them. But he has a lot more than that. He's recruiting you into his team because he's a world he wants to change. And he wants to work in and through your life to do it. That's the great storyline of the Bible. God has come to do something, and he wants to then now do it through you and I as his people. So we're going to look at the Bible as one great drama. We're going to take a really brisk walk through the Bible as one great drama in six acts. And we're going to see how generosity, or the lack of it, plays out in each act. Act one, God's good intention. God created a good and a beautiful world. And he created a man and a woman in his own image to work and care for all the animals and the birds and the fish and the plants and the trees. We were to rule over with care and love all of God's good creation. And God gave us as humans all we needed to play our part well, relationship with him, significant responsibility and resources to carry it out. And God has never changed his plan. He desires to work in and through ordinary humans like you and me to care for, rule over, and change the world. Genesis 1:31 says, then God looked over all he made, and he saw that it was very good. So the first two chapters of Genesis paint a beautiful picture. But trouble is brewing. Act 2, exile as a result of our rebellion. Chapter 3 of Genesis, Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie, that they could be like God without trusting God or obeying God. And they rebelled against God's goodness with devastating consequences for all of us and all creation. They broke their relationship with God. They broke their relationship with other people. They broke their relationship with themselves. They broke their relationship with creation. They broke their relationship with money and possessions. Instead of money and possession being a good tool, resources to use well for good, they began to control them out of fear and love of money, which Paul says is the root of all kinds of evil. Sadly, Genesis 3:23 says, so the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. So the question we're left with after Act 2 is, can this curse be overcome? Can this brokenness be healed? What will God do with the mess we made of things? Thank God there's Act 3. Act 3 is calling Israel to a mission. So God calls human beings again because he's going to work through them. Abram and Sarai, they become renamed Abraham and Sarah. And he promises to make them into a great nation. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, go to the land I'll show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. That means he's going to protect you too. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. This is an awesome passage. This is like a window passage through which to see what God's doing through the whole rest of Scripture. And the way, and his kind of modus operandi, what he does in the world. He comes to bless us so much so that we can be a blessing to everyone. Now, we know that from Galatians 3:14, this is fulfilled in Jesus. Paul says that Jesus was Abraham's descendant. You do know that Jesus was not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and white, right? He was born in the Middle East. He's Jewish. He's dark-complected. All the families of the earth are blessed through Jesus. Now, to understand this a little bit, it has informed and transformed the way I've lived my entire life for the 50 plus years of following Jesus. For example, when I went to Mercy Vineyard, when God, interestingly, I was making eggs one morning in my kitchen, and we were ready to retire from River Heights on March 31, 2020, and I was a short-term interim, and the person who was going to be the long-term interim just decided it wasn't the right time or thing for he and his family. And I got that email, and I thought, oh, no, what are they going to do? What are we going to do? And I felt immediately God said, would you work longer at Mercy if I wanted you to and they wanted you to? And I said, well, what about Sue? Does she get a vote? And he said, of course, ask her. And so I did, and she said, yeah, that's not our plan. I said, I know, that's why I'm asking. She said, but God's always had a better plan than we've ever had. So let's do the process and see what he does. So I knew then that God wanted me involved. They wanted me involved. I knew God was sending me with blessing, that he would give me everything I needed to be a blessing. And then I knew they would be a blessing back. And all of that came true, and I'm so glad. Now, God has blessed every one of you already. He blesses us by turning us to Jesus, Peter says. And he's got so much more blessing for you. He wants you to, as it were, step toward him. I'm probably losing my online audience here, sorry. I got to watch my marks. But he has so much more blessing for you than you can imagine, and he wants to bless more people through your life than you could ever imagine. Now, sadly, Israel didn't keep their side of the covenant. They foolishly looked to the false gods of the nations around them to provide for them. And God was grieved when his people didn't depend upon him. Turning to other things than God for our security, our satisfaction, our significance in the world has been a constant problem for God's people throughout all history. So much that Jesus highlights it when he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He narrows those masters to God and money. So the Old Testament ends with Israel in exile again. But there was a remnant who longed to return home, who longed to be forgiven, who longed to have a new life. And God encouraged them with speaking through the prophets that a new age was coming and a new king was coming, a new Messiah was coming, a new hero was coming. And his name starts with a J, and it's Jesus. So Act 4, the surprising victory of Jesus. Pete shared wonderfully about this last week, so I'm just going to kind of piggyback on that. Jesus brings the good news of the kingdom, of the coming of God's rule and reign on earth. Jesus is fully human. See again, God is continuing to work through human beings. Jesus is fully human and fully God at the same time. And he begins to show us what God's new creation looks like. He announces the end of Israel's exile. Forgiveness of sins. He overcomes all dark spiritual powers. He welcomes all sinners, especially those who are marginalized. All of his healings are restorations of creation. When the blind eyes can see, that's a restoration. When deaf ears hear, that's a restoration. When people can't speak and can speak, that's a restoration. When a woman is bent over double for 18 years and Jesus sets her free, that's a restoration. That's what God intended from the beginning, that our bodies would actually work. One great day, they'll be perfect again. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Amen. Holy moly, I am. And on the way to that day, we pray for each other, mind, hearts, bodies, relationships, all the time. Because God is here to do good things. He's here to see his new creation break in. Jesus conquers the kingdom of darkness through his death. He rescues people from slavery, just like in the Exodus. He reconciles through his blood everything in heaven and earth to God. And God publicly declares the victory of by raising Jesus back to life. The resurrection of Jesus shows that the great enemies of God, creation, sin, death, and the devil, are defeated And the new creation has already begun. And every one of our relationships can begin to be healed with God, with each other, with ourselves, and with creation, and with money and possessions. Because Jesus encourages us, don't worry about money. He says this, don't be concerned about what to eat and drink. Don't worry about such things. These things do dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. So seek the kingdom of God. Make that your highest priority above all else. He'll give you everything you need. Remember the blessing to Abraham? I will bless you. Not I might if you're having a good day. But if you're being a bad boy or bad girl, forget it. No, I will bless you, God says. Don't be afraid. It gives your Father great happiness to give you his kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to those in need, and this will store up treasure for you in heaven. Purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe there. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. And wherever your treasure is, you know, the desires of your heart will also be there. One thing I've learned about generous giving as I became a more generous person, my heart changed. My heart got larger. My heart got stronger. My heart got kinder. I encourage you. God has a wonderful generosity journey for each one of you and for this community as a whole. Take your next step, whatever that is. And he so wants to bless you beyond what you can imagine. Now, the big question after Act 4 is, well, how will this surprising victory of Jesus be spread to all the nations of the world? Guess what? Act 5 answers that. Act 5 is the act you and I live in right now. We are the renewed people of God. Jesus said to his disciples, John 20:21, peace be to you, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you now. You and I have an amazing part to play in God's great rescue plan, and he will give you everything you need to play your part. He'll give you relationship by the Holy Spirit. He'll come to live with you and give you what you need. He'll give you responsibility, significant responsibility. He calls us to be you will be my witnesses, which means we live out and we tell the story of Jesus and our story. We're ministers of reconciliation. We urge everyone, be reconciled to God. Now, one way to share the good news here at River Heights is to be part of Alpha Online. Just so you know, my wife said, make a plug for Alpha. So here's my plug for Alpha. Now, I have been involved in Alpha, I suppose for 25, 26 of the 30 years that we've done Alpha here. Sue, Jeff, Nancy would love to have you talk to them. The next Alpha starts June 9. It's great for you as a refresher, a re-engaging with Jesus. It's great to bring a friend. And Alpha Online around the world has reached more people for Jesus than Alpha in person ever did. It's amazing. It works. I encourage you to give it a try. And God will give you the resources. He'll give us the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray for that right now for us. And I just invite you to welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you want to build that deep relationship with us. You give us a wonderful responsibility, and you give us all the power and gifts that we need to carry it out. Would you come even right now, and in this season of our lives, would you fill us over and over and over again with your presence and your power? We welcome you. Thank you. I don't know if you can sense that. I can sense the Holy Spirit here right now. I would encourage you, that's a great prayer to pray every day in some way, welcoming the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing that has helped me play my part well in God's great drama is knowing that I'm on the winning team. Now, a lot of you know I love sports. I'm actually going to 4 Twins games this week. I went yesterday. I'm going today after the second service, Tuesday and Thursday. I'm retired. That's one of the signs, right? I can do that now. Anyway, but I also record them, and I record the Twins, Vikings, Timberwolves. Sometimes I actually watch the Timberwolves, the Wild. but often I'll look to see if my team won before I watch it, because I thought, I don't know if I want to sit here 3 hours if they lose. So people will say, but you want to know in advance? Sure. You know what? Something happens to me when I know the outcome in advance. I do not get upset when someone throws an interception, strikes out, makes a bad play, because I know we win. hey, you know, you might mess up once or twice. I've messed up 3 or 4 or 5 times. It doesn't have to crush you or me because we win. God has won. Jesus has conquered. And the Holy Spirit leads us in that triumph. Now, I'm well aware of pain and sorrow and difficulty. I am not minimizing that. All creation groans, Romans 8 says, but they groan with eager hope. You and I groan, but we groan with eager hope. The Holy Spirit groans with hope for us because he's won the victory. Read Revelation 21. Read Revelation 22. It's written at the end for a reason. And it's written to an oppressed group of people who were suffering deeply, and they needed to know they were on the winning team. You're on the winning team. That's Acts 6. God comes home to be with his people. His wonderful future is broken into our world through the work of Jesus. But the present evil age continues. Brokenness, wrongdoing, sickness, and death. Over 500,000 people have died from COVID in the U.S. alone. A whole lot of grieving, a whole lot of sorrow, a whole lot of sadness. It's real. I don't mean... cover it over, I mean, step into it, live into it, but with hope that God has won. And one day, there will be no more death. One day, there will be no more tears. One day, there will be no more sorrow. We're going toward that day, friends, because Jesus has won. Now, in the midst of, we live in the in-between time, the overlap of these ages, where both are true. The kingdom's here. The new creation's already begun. And yet, we have all these other things. We must not deny either one. We must not try to collapse the tension and say it's all this or all that. It's both and until we are in the new heaven and new earth. We must learn to live in that tension. I don't like it any more than you do, but we must learn to live in it. That is our call as the renewed people of God. So how do we live well in this in-between time, in this overlap time? With our resources. How do we manage well our resources so God's word gets out? Paul summarized Jesus' teaching wonderfully, 1 Timothy 6:17-19. He says this, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable." Sue and I, now that we're retired, we're living on Social Security and the earnings from investments that we've made over all the years. And thank God for River Heights that has invested in our retirement. We appreciate it. So I got an email from our investment advisor last week. John, January and February were so great in 2021. However, March has been so bad, it's taken all the gains. But we're hoping for better things from April on. Hey, funds go up, funds go down. I'm praying that they go up. But you know, I don't trust in my funds. I'm trusting in God. Trust in God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. God enjoys doing good to us and bringing us joy. He wants to bless you more than you can imagine. He wants to bless others through you more than you can imagine. And 3, tell them to use their money to do good. Be rich in good works, generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Now that always being ready to share with others, there's a ton of messages in that. It's all about managing your money well so you can be in a position to share. And by doing this, they'll be storing up treasure as a good foundation for the future so they may experience true life. These are great little verses to meditate on. Just 4 little verses summarizes really the teaching of Jesus. Now, Sue and I have tried to put this teaching, Paul's teaching, Jesus' teaching into practice these past 50 years. We have never regretted it for a moment. And we do not plan to quit. We want to continue to grow in generous giving. Our bucket may be a little smaller now in retirement, but we plan to give percentage-wise as generously as ever. We love giving to the general fund here at River Heights, to the Compassion Fund, to the Thanksgiving giveaway, to Treehouse, to our mission work in Lavinia, Mexico, to the mission work we do in Turkey and Southeast Asia, and others. So when I began our giving journey by giving the first 10% of our income to God's work, we were taught that by loving people who love Jesus, and I didn't know anything better, and he said, it's really simple. You make $1,000, you move the decimal point 1 to the left, you give 100. You make 100, you give 10. You make 10, you give 1. I thought, oh, I can do that. And so we've done that for 50-plus years. Now, I want to encourage you, we didn't have to have an energetic discussion as a couple about that. We've had a lot of other energetic discussions in our married life, which are all been for good. But I want to encourage you, if you have not begun your giving journey yet here, there's a great opportunity for you. In your program, you have this card, 90-Day Giving Challenge, and it's designed with you in mind. so that you could, I would encourage you, sign up for this and begin to give the first 10% of your income to the work of God through River Heights. And you can fill out the card, and don't do it today. I want you to think about this, pray about this. But we will take this money, we'll put it in a special fund with your name attached. We're not going to spend it. And after 90 days, if you say, you know, this really didn't work out for me, I don't feel closer to God, I don't feel better, whatever, whatever, we'll give you all your money back, no questions asked. But our conviction is that God's going to bless you as you do this. He's going to do good things in your life in these 90 days. So this is like, you can't lose. So we'd encourage you to do this. Now, maybe you've already begun your journey and you've been giving for a long time. That's awesome. Why not to commit to growing and excelling in the grace of giving? A number of years ago, I was running a Northwestern bookstore, and I felt God talk to me. We were giving 10% of our income, plus we were doing special giving. And he said, would you like to join me in an adventure this year, John? And I thought, yeah, you've got great adventures. How about giving 15% to the general and then continue to do your special giving? To which I said, that would be 50% more than we're currently giving. And he said, way to go, you're good at math. I knew you'd get it. But I felt faith rise up inside, like he was going to do something. So I went home and told Sue, and I said, this is what I think God said. And she looked at me for the longest time and said, well, you're the one who always worries about money. So if you think we should, I know it's God. And we did it. We were so blessed as a couple, faith, hope, love, more finances, the business was blessed. I encourage you, ask God, what would you like, how can I grow this year? What do you want me to do? Jesus said, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. I'm so glad for all that we've done these 30 years as a community, all the generous giving, all the blessing, all the good work, and there's so much more that can be done. I'd like the worship team to come now, and we're gonna continue the service and kind of wrap it with worship and prayer, which we so love to do, so love to meet God that way. Just think with me, how many more people could experience Jesus' love and find healing and freedom and grow in wisdom and become generous themselves as you and I grow in generosity? It's all about people, friends. All of the building expansions we've ever done here, all of the money we've ever given for these things, it's for people. It's for people. It's so people can experience God's love. It's so that you and I can meet new friends. It's wonderful to see new people coming. I was here at the 8 o'clock service. There were several new people here first time. There are new people here today. It's awesome. Thank you. Here are my tips. You see them on the screen. Read 1 Timothy 6, Luke 12 for extra points. Pray, ask God, what good things do you want to do through my life now in this season? And 3, do. Get started in generous giving. Take the generous giving challenge for 90 days and grow in generous giving. Take your next step. Lord, we thank you that you always have next steps for us and that you're with us as we take them. You give us the power and the faith to take them. I pray that you'd speak to my friends and me about what our steps are now. And we thank you that you're with us for good. We thank you that you come to bless our lives so that we can be a blessing beyond all that we've dreamed. In Jesus' name, amen.